Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated, and this is... This comes from the fact that we've been traveling a lot, but hotel towels.
Overrated.
I always want to say, like, okay, you know, you get a nice hotel. This towel should be fluffy and like just ooh,
soft,
smooth. Yeah, soft. They're
but
so
they're
crispy.
Over laundered. Yeah.
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 They're like bleached so to, often. Which yeah. I understand. I do want a clean towel, but at the same time, it's like, it's so
it's
rough.
A little softener. Come on.
Yeah.
Baby. Treat us good.
Like, yeah. I'm like, I'm dry now. That's me just wiping my skin.
It's weird. I feel like maybe I had there has been an arc. I used to think hotel towels were the apex of towel quality.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I did
and,
too.
And, but that like, I don't know. That was like my perception maybe in the like 90s and early 2000s. And then as I, maybe as I travel more as an adult rather than like a wide eyed like minor who's dependent on their family's money, like you start being like, man, I paid all this money for this shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Looks like this versus a kid. I'm like, I can use 9 towels.
Right. And I feel like spas, like if you ever been to a spa,
I could tell.
Spas got the good towels.
Or
like
true.
Even like some gyms have nice towels. Like,
but I wonder, is it like the presidential suite that they save all the nicest towels for or something?
Yeah, we
should do an experiment.
Question.
We should get a presidential suite.
Yeah, what we should do, next one, we book a presidential suite just to see what the towels are like. The second we get there, like, actually, bro, I don't need this room.
Yeah.
Downgrade me to the cheapest room you have. Immediately, I need my money back or else I'm going to have a panic attack in the lobby.
My wife was in Las Vegas last weekend. She was volunteering, knocking doors. That's not true. She was there for a fun thing. But she met somebody who had gone for the Tyson Fury fight and had like ordered a room that was like wild expensive at the casino where the fight was.
Oh boy.
And it was like, it cost what a presidential suite would cost.
Oh.
It wasn't even in the hotel. it was in a different hotel that you had to like walk through, and it was basically like a towel closet. So that's just something to keep in mind. If you're ever going to Vegas.
Was it at Mandalay Bay?
I forget where it was. It was
yeah,
like
because that
of those...
sounds like when people go to Mandalay Bay and they're like, you're actually at the hotel, which is right. a walk on the other side of the property.
Yeah, exactly. So watch out for that, guys. What is something it. You think is overrated?
The gut. Everyone, the gut. Like how you feel. Like right. My whole book is about the expertise over the gut. So I think, right. You know, I just had an instinct or I just knew, like, as David Foster Wallace said, like, the thing that I most intimately know in my gut is that I am the most important person in the exact center of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah, and I've heard you kind of talk about this in relation to both Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And, like, sort of the populist movement being something that appeals to the gut as opposed to the brain. What is that? Is that kind of where you're coming from, or is that?
Yeah, the feeling that some other person or group of people are out to get you, and that the system can just be fixed if we just get rid of the bad guy instead right. of actual systemic fixes.
Right.
And that you just feel like something is right, and you just feel like you know more than the generals. That's the stuff that scares me.
Right.
The amount of where's the book of mistakes the gut has led us to right. also?
Yeah.
Just as important.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, do you think that Sanders is equally guilty as Trump or like?
No. Yeah, no, okay. I think he's guilty, but no, not at all. No, they're not in the same league.
Right. Because I mean, I see how his sort of villainization of the wealthy could be seen as an easy answer, but it does seem like a lot of his proposals are fairly systemic. They're not just
some
like,
of them are, but some of the systemic ones also seem like they're from the gut. Like when he talks about putting a farmer on the Fed Board of Governors,
uh-huh.
I feel like we'd have two reasons we wouldn't eat if he did that.
Right.
And some of his proposals, I think, are really like the economist he has, I think, is very fringy and doesn't believe in the fact that, like, you know, the higher inflation will cause more unemployment. And so, yes, I feel like he has some things from the gut, some of which are that, you know, rich people are stealing money from poor people kind of right. illegally in shady ways compared to we just have a system in
right.
which people are allowed to accumulate.
It happens above board. Money.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about, I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on the
Thank
Flat
you.
Earth group. So
I'm against them.
Okay.
Okay.
Man.
Wow.
Didn't see it coming.
Huh.
Damn it.
No, so there's a guy by the name of Mad Mike Hughes who was trying to prove that the Earth was flat by going into space. It seems like there has to be an easier way to do that.
A lot of the other experiments they try end up proving that the Earth is round, and then they're like, well, nah, it can't be that one then.
Okay, got it.
Like in that Netflix documentary, famously, they did an experiment where they were sending a laser across like a distance that was just enough that you would be able to detect the curvature of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, that laser was pointing like at an angle
right.
because of the curvature of the Earth. And they're like, nah, man, this can't be it. let's check it again.
Right.
And they're like, nah, man, it's right.
Huh.
And then it's like back to the drawing board. So I guess for Mad Mike Hughes, he was like, I'm going to make a steam-powered rocket
uh-huh.
and go as high as I can, and then I'll be able to see from up there. That's the deal. I can see the ice wall from here or whatever he believed he would see from up there.
Or he could just get on one of those cruises that goes around the world.
Right.
Well,
right?
In those ones, there's other things about like those cruises are ran by like, you know, the global cabal of like firmament deniers who want you to believe
right.
that the Earth is round. So like the cruise ships will never actually get to a place where you would be able to see what they believe is the edge of the Earth.
But how do they think you get back to where you started? They turned around?
They think they turned around.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hoax.
Man.
Australia is a country where people fly to.
But it's a hoax.
But it's a hoax.
Australia
actors.
Is.
Well, Australia is not real.
Australia is not real.
Yeah.
It's actors.
You know what? I spent a month there, and I think they may be right.
Yeah,
it seemed
I've got
like
some evidence
it seemed
to,
a little too close to right. the Western U.S. They had that weird. It just seemed like I hadn't gone that far.
Right, and sometimes they would slip out of their accent just accidentally.
Yeah, it was like
yeah.
a little too like cowboy.
Come
like,
on, this is fake, guys.
Yeah.
Well, so this guy, right? He took on Saturday. He went up in his rocket. There's a video of it, and it's just pretty sad. Like, it goes up. There was supposed to be a chute that deployed for him to safely return, and the chute just, I think, deployed incorrectly.
No, it deployed right away. Like as it was taking off.
Oh,
like the initial plume of whatever was propelling him upward was. Like had a torn up parachute mixed in with it, like as it cleared,
and then it just came right back down.
Yeah, and then
this
it just
sort
came
of
back
proves
down.
My theory that rockets don't exist.
There you go.
They don't really work.
Yeah.
The thing was, he was recording. He was doing a new TV series called "Homemade Astronauts" on what in this article describes the U.S. Science Channel,
which isn't.
I don't know which one that is.
Yeah, again,
I think they meant because it's from the Independent in the U.K. The Science Channel here in the U.S.
Is there a Science Channel?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what they said in their statement is, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends during this difficult time. It was always his dream to do this launch, and Science Channel was there to chronicle his journey.
But that's tough.
I mean, the guy, that's such a weird state. Like, you were making a show.
Is this like a real channel that I'd get on if I had a cable box?
Yeah.
People, it really, and so they were... okay with this?
That's not good.
That's a weird statement to have for we basically captured and are will probably be exploiting this man's tragic death for our show Homemade Astronauts. The idea, even the name is like dangerous.
Knife Catchers.
Science
Channel.
It's like, whoa. And check out the new spinoff, Baby Knife Catchers. So, yeah, that is an interesting statement from them. But
holy shit.
They have...
do lots of people die on reality TV shows, like Ice Road Truckers, or like, are people dying all the time
on TV? I remember
on
Deadliest Catch, very early on, there was like someone passed away, and that was like big news.
They went overboard?
I think so, something like that.
Like on camera?
I don't know if it's on camera during production.
Okay.
Someone, like one of the crew people, I don't know if crew, but like, or people on the boats did. But I don't, not that like, I know that it's like a dangerous path, like that reality, I mean, reality, being on a reality show ruins your life in another way.
Yeah.
Not in a physical way.
But it sometimes doesn't. Like I tried out for the Real World London and I got to the final, like when they fly you to New York and interview you. And I've interviewed the guy who got my place instead of me. And it didn't affect his life that much. Like, no one remembers that he was on it.
Oh, really?
It rarely comes up. It's interesting.
That really cast interesting. Was a little bit hard to remember when I think about it.
Especially the guy who was kind of like me.
Yeah. I like how you said to me, like, I met the guy. In my mind, you've been stalking him just to confront him. Be like, hey, motherfucker, remember me? You're like, what?
Did he look like somewhat similar to you? Were they like casting to a type?
Yes, they were casting to a type.
Did you guys like get along really famously?
I only called him recently for something I was working on. So I never met him. So he was like, he's a playwright. And they cast him instead of me because John Murray, when I interviewed him later, told me that he was afraid I'd never get laid.
Mm.
Wow.
Did he really?
Yep.
Wow.
And cutting.
Tell me what you really thought.
But correct.
Yeah.
Even with the help of a TV show. Which one was it?
It was The Real World London.
No, but which guy on the cast?
Was this, I'm blanking his name. This proves my point.
Mike, Jay, Neil?
Jay.
Jay.
What's Jay's last name?
Jay Frank from Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, that's a guy.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, this was when I looked through, I'm like, I don't really remember many of the people from this. I remember Jacinda.
Yeah, that I remember that. Didn't somebody get their tongue almost bitten off in Real World London? Or am I thinking about a different one?
Forrester.
In making out with someone? Or how
I think
happen?
So.
The most notable event of the season occurs when cast member and singer Neil Forrester kisses a male heckler during a performance who then bites the tip of Forrester's tongue off.
Yeah. I remember that being.
Wait, so he forced a kiss on a heckler and the heckler bit his tongue off?
Yeah.
That's how we knew Brexit was going to happen.
There it was. I was just... It would be so interesting if you went and like looked at this person's life and it was like one of those longitudinal studies of identical twins where it's like they have like all the same things, like all the same interests. And,
right.
It's like I have three kids and their names are the same as your kids' names too. if real world casting was like that.
But, you know, I think my theory with the real world not ruining your life is I feel like those early people, like the first five seasons, they got away pretty scot-free.
Around it was somewhere between a social experiment.
Cast, I felt like the temperature started to get turned up on the real world where we saw like a lot more like interesting, darker shit going on. Her characters were a little bit more.
So you think it like, affected their lives more, or they were just already messed up? And
well, I'm curious about
up.
Like Ruthie from Hawaii, who like yeah. had it was like struggling with her drinking on the show, yeah. and even remember afterwards people saying like that lifestyle was only contributing worse to her alcoholism.
Well, I think it seems she like they started drinking a lot more on the show.
On the show,
yeah.
I don't know. Hey,
like look, there was actual, I remember the first season, there was actual boredom where they were like sitting around yeah. and like shooting pool and being like, there's really nothing to do because right. they don't let you watch TV. So they're like, something's going to happen because you're not allowed to watch TV. You're not allowed to like do anything besides interact with each other. And so I think what a lot of our instincts are when we're, you know, forced to be in socially uncomfortable situations is to drink. And if they just provide you with a place and an environment to drink in, maybe it's not the best.
I mean, I think Ruthie's doing well because she's posting, you know, really great travel pics.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Okay. So good, she's definitely Ruthie. Been to Mallorca in Spain.
That seems right.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, well, I run in a pretty liberal crowd, and the myth that bothers me the most is that Trump voters are ill-informed and voting against their own interests, and if we just explain things to them, they'll change their mind.
Right.
Right.
No, but here's the deal.
Right.
Your factory job yeah. is gone. All right.
Your soybean tariffs are hurting your... Yeah, that's right. not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know what they're doing. People vote altruistically, right? So like lots of really rich people who are liberals will vote for higher taxes right. and lots of farmers will vote for soybean tariffs because they're voting for what they think the country should be.
Right, which is sticking it to the libs and just like cultural stuff. Like why do you think when because you, for your book, you went down to a town that voted more uniformly for Trump than any other
county. Yeah, 96% of the county of the highest... highest percentage of Trump voters in Texas.
And what, like, would you say that was an experience that revealed something to you about Trump?
Yeah.
Or what they're preserving?
Yeah. I think that there's a cosmopolitan elite that I'm very proud to be part of. Mm. And the way that, like, I connect to the globe and think about the world is so dystopic to these people.
Right.
Like, when they think about Los Angeles or any city, they think about homeless people and people who don't know their neighbors and people who are looking at their phone all day and only interested in their status. And they just...
Wait, where's the lie?
Right.
Where's the lie?
Where's the lie?
No.
Those are all accurate.
They're not wrong. Yeah, they're not wrong right. at all. But they yeah. see that
but
as like...
it, distill that down to... Right.
They see that as the future of the country.
Right.
And they want to stop that and restore it to kind of a... what you still probably see in the shrinking rural parts of this country. And it's an existential threat to them. And they do not like Donald Trump. But they have said to me, like, if you have a cockroach infestation and you hire an exterminator and he has his butt crack showing and he's cursing, but he gets the job done, you hire him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, famously comparing the diverse population to cockroaches.
Yes, no, I did.
That's good. Always
that's
good.
That's when I'm like, oh boy, yeah, okay, I get it. Yep, cockroach, yeah, you got the roaches here, you know what I mean?
Feeling very
that was one of the times I felt
town.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, 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 there are a couple of things absolutely. Said that I was like, oh, please don't make me write this in my book because you seem oh like such God. Nice people.
Right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back.
So we have a very strange crime story from Florida.
Yeah.
So we have all the little details because it's Florida.
The headline is out
what
there.
Is it?
So I'm just going to describe what happened. Apparently this woman, she was arrested mm-hmm. because her boyfriend was found in a suitcase dead. And when the cops said, they're like, well, yo, what's going on here? She said, oh, you know, we're playing a little drunken game of getting the fucking suitcase. Apparently, we're like, they were both drunk and like, I guess, taking turns getting in the suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got in, she admitted that she zipped the man in the suitcase and then went upstairs and then like woke up, like she passed out. And then when she got there, he was dead inside this suitcase.
Mm.
But that was just the beginning because the investigators obviously like, they, you know, took her in.
Airtight.
They take her phone.
Yeah.
They find two different videos that may indicate that this may have just been a murder. So, yeah, not like it's like, you know, a drunken game right. of getting the suitcase went awry.
Right.
So they said one video shows the man in the suitcase just yelling, saying he can't breathe while she's like laughing.
No.
Yeah. And she's like laughing at his like screams, and then he's like, "I can't fucking breathe." Seriously,
wait, he FaceTimed her from inside.
No, she was videotaping him.
It's on her phone.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. And then, but this is where it gets. I don't know. This is a little bit darker. So she's saying, "Yeah, that's what you do when you choke me." She said, "That's on you." Oh, that's what I feel like when you cheat on me.
Damn.
And they were like, so then the cops. There's a moment. This in the write up. There, the investigators. We're like grilling her about it. And then like the line, it says, she does admit that, quote, it did, quote, look bad. and
look,
now
guys,
she's being charged.
I know
with
this
second
looks
murder.
Bad.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Of course she is.
That happens in movies and the people end up proving their innocence. But yeah. I don't think that's a good thing to say to the police when you're being interrogated.
No.
Look, I get it. This looks
really
bad.
But you don't play suitcase zippy uppy?
Right.
This is what I think. Because he cheated on her.
Uh-huh. Right?
She wanted to get him back, or sometimes in there, hopefully, mostly or consensual sex. He chokes her more than she wants, at least it seems like from what she said. So she devised, oh, I'll get in the suitcase, and then he'll get in the suitcase, and then I won't let him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died, maybe by accident,
But then she just wanted to not take ownership over any of it. Now it's all falling apart.
Or he was like, it was a straight up abusive relationship, and she decided to just off him like that.
Come on, that's lean into that.
But that you'd think that would be explained. Like, you wanna know what happened here? It's like, yeah, this guy's a monster, and
I didn't mean to kill him, but I was trying to get him back.
Yeah, I fuck with him. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how that plan goes in her mind ahead of time. Like, how do you get somebody to
voluntarily climb
into a suitcase?
Because you gotta go. That's how.
But why is it even a thing?
Let's see if we both fit in a suitcase. What is the?
I guess it's like
I would stupidly walk into that trap.
Yes,
you would be like,
if someone brought out a big ass suitcase,
bet you can't fit into this suitcase.
I'm so claustrophobic, I wouldn't get in. But the idea, I could get suckered into something like, let's see if we can walk across this. Like,
It appeals to like stupid human experiments, basically. Yes. And I think too, if the woman was like smaller, but she was so small in the suitcase, he's like, I bet I could. She's like, I bet you could fit in this thing. He's like, yeah, probably. Yeah. You're drunk. You pass out. I don't know. It's that story is developing.
Wow. That is nightmarish. So the thing that killed him was just being
suffocated.
No, he died of a broken heart.
All right, let's talk. Do you guys have strong opinions on whether it's GIF or JIF?
It's GIF.
It's GIF.
Okay. Yeah. So I think.
All right, moving on.
The dude who invented it and then went up on the Webby's or Streamies.
Stream, whatever.
Well, no, but I think he legitimized the GIF stance. Like, I think we were well on our way to just phasing that out, and then people were like, well, the guy anyone calls it GIF, they're like, well, the guy who invented it says it, so that's right. And it's like,
it's obnoxious.
Yeah, that's obnoxious, and it's an acronym in the first place.
Right.
So graphic inter something.
Graphic interchange format. Graphical interchange format. And there's a hard G in graphical.
Right.
So it's not graphical.
It's certainly not, Miles.
Giraffical interchange. That's a whole new pun.
GIF is already a thing. It's already a type of peanut butter.
But the way he said it, right? So in 2013, maybe he was on a tour. I don't know if this was the moment you were there when he said it. But he was just out there saying, like, it should be pronounced GIF, like the peanut butter, rather than a hard G.
Okay.
It's funny. Early on when GIFs first came out, I remember hearing it both ways, because I just don't like, but this was before like there was enough internet talk about it. Like, you could just grow up with the bad habit of hearing somebody say GIF and you knew it as that. I heard it as GIF. I preferred it based on what I saw.
Right.
Now, and I think also too, it's important because GIFs are like part of our digital vocabulary now. Like, I know people who don't even use words anymore.
Right.
they only communicate through GIFs.
Right.
So Giphy, which is that website that basically we get 99% of our GIFs from whenever we're like, it's built into so many apps and things like that.
Place of the blast.
They are, you know, teaming up with Jif, the peanut butter company, to put an end to this debate. Okay. And what they're doing is they're selling like things, jars of peanut butter with the G on it instead of the J, but that says GIF. Animated looping images, hard G. Okay, so the press release is kind of funny too. It says we're teaming up with Giphy to put a lid on this decade-long debate and prove there is only one GIF. It's creamy, delicious peanut butter, not a looping picture you can send to make friends and family laugh.
Wow.
This was from the vice president of marketing of GIF, and it says, if you're a soft G, please visit GIF.com. If you a hard G, thank you. We know you're right. I had to read it like that because if you just said to somebody, you a soft G or you a hard G, like, you got to say it like that, homie.
Yeah, I mean, this is good marketing, but it's also, they're on the right side of history.
I would love for the owner, though, to keep this debate going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, just as far as he can, push it, just push it.
I feel like he would probably be like, oh, excuse me, I think I would know I invented it. But that has nothing to do with how people are processing
Language changes just based on like what your intent was in the first place. That doesn't matter to any of us.
Right.
It shouldn't matter unless it's somebody who is like in a weird little pedantic rut or something.
Pedantic rut. Wow. Cutting. Yes. Cutting.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
This is something I realized recently, and I don't know why I have to constantly explain myself before I tell you, but something that scared you as a child or like freaked you out because you didn't have like a good enough understanding or context of it doesn't necessarily mean that it won't do the same as an adult, even when if you've grown and you've learned and you've read and you've got all this context for things. Because I've been having like a tough month. So, and my mom is so, she's like a devout Muslim woman. Seems so at goddamn peace all the time. Nothing can
unwavering.
Like, she's always like, hey, you know what? I just know that there's a plan for me and everything's going to be okay and I'm going to make it and whatever happens, happens. Which, when you're like young, that's infuriating and you're like, you don't get it, mom.
Right.
But, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm like, God, how do I find this peace she has? So she was like, I don't know, like, look at the Quran again. I don't know, like, read something. Try and find something that you enjoy. Like, and again, she's never really pushed Islam on me because it's kind of her own thing. Like, my dad's very secular, so she's never felt the need to be like, you have to do this, because it's almost as if she doesn't want me in her to hang out with her girl group. Anyway, she does. She has like a very like intense like group of like Muslim friends, and they do Quran study every Friday. And they like, it feels like a party sometimes where I've been at home and walked in. My mom's like, can we help you? And you're like, okay.
You kids be good now.
Am I lame?
Yeah, she's like, okay, because we're doing something in here.
Right.
So, you know, I and as a child, I flipped through the Quran just casually trying to like learn, read, and it freaked me out. It was just so, I think just like the practice of like the certain thing, like the ideas that they put forth that you would like have to like apply and like think about, it was too much for my like my little like 6-year-old, 7-year-old brain.
Any religious text is like that for a child.
Or maybe even I was like 10, I can't remember exactly, but it really freaked me. I had like nightmares. Like I was scared the jinn was gonna come get me, or like it was like all this stuff that I didn't understand to create enough context to understand, like, no, it's just like it's not like a creature that's coming to get you. It's just like a
We internalize these sort of
right perceptions. And then I looked at it again because I was like, I'm gonna try and find some peace. And it didn't sit right with me.
Was
I don't know.
It
there was
the same?
Some certain, it didn't hit as much where I was like, a creature's coming to get me, you know? It was more just like the things I was reading, I it didn't sit right with me. And it's not that I'm like saying like, you know, Islam Quran is not for me. The Quran is not for me. But like, I didn't know how to take, it felt so real and so like rooted, and like it was just like some, I almost felt like I was being like I was being invasive into a religion that I wasn't allowed in because I didn't have, my mind wasn't open enough. Like it really, it hit me in a way I wasn't expecting, where I was like, I was like, I'm not pure or good enough for this. Like, I don't feel like I should be allowed to even like apply any of this to my life. It was a weird thing. Like, it was maybe a little bit more of a mature reaction, but it still hit me in a way that unnerved me.
Sure.
Like, I was like, oh, like I'm just so set in my ways now that it's going to be very hard for me to start internalizing any of this, because everything I'd be like, what? What?
You're doing that as you read.
yeah. Like
just out loud.
My reactions to it were a little unnerved. And I think I just, I wasn't raised in it, so I don't know how to take it in. And I think it also like kind of freaked me out.
Sure. Well, I think it's also like, you know, on one level, we have to be open to things. And I understand, too, like when, especially reading any kind of religious text, I think if I picked up a Bible now after going to like Lutheran and Catholic schools from kindergarten to 12th grade, there would be something I would feel slightly disingenuous, because at the time I was never really engaging in any, like I had no beliefs that were rooted in it. But I think there's something too, like, it sounds like you're at a point too, where you kind of, you're looking for a new way to sort of take in your life experiences. And I think that's always like the most stressful times we have, at least for me personally, are typically when I'm on the precipice of some kind of sort of shift in my thinking or perception. Yeah. And that's typically when we're at the most anxious, because everything we were using to sort of make sense of the world isn't quite giving us the same level of security or like base of anymore. And so, sounds like you're on the point of a breakthrough. You know, and for $14.99, you should buy my tapes.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask.
Yeah. No, but I think that's important. But yeah, also recognizing too, like, you know, we're all looking for new ways to process our experience too. And sometimes we have to let go of new things, develop new ones.
Yeah.
But it's a process, you know?
I think what you were saying about like feeling like you were walking in on a party, that resonates with me. Like, you know, having been in recovery for a few years now, I think a lot of what people replace, like, substances and, like, things they used to use to, like, get out of their own head
right.
with is, like, spiritual stuff, like spirituality. Yeah. I know for myself, I used to use, like, alcohol and, you know, other things that I don't use anymore to achieve some of the things that, like, people use, like, spiritual things for now. I think there's, like, something connected there.
Right.
And then I think it's just hard to think your way out of anything that's, like, mental because, like, we don't have access to 90% of our mental processes and, like, we're inside of them. So it's just hard to, I always say, like, I feel like we're uniquely bad at judging our own selves and our own minds because it's just we don't have the perspective. Like, that's what therapy is. So, like, trying to solve a problem like you're having or, like, you know, just think your way out of something that goes back to, like, how you were raised and, like, your childhood is just so, so difficult.
Well, and we're also taught to, like, think about a problem to solve it.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I have a problem, so now I will think about it.
Yeah.
And now I have completely, my thought process has been completely taken over by obsessing about a problem.
Right.
Because it's like a habit of being like, well, that's how you solve it. You think about it. Yeah. But it's actually not the way to solve anything.
Right.
Like, there are problems that I think that maybe have some kind of process to it that you can solve by being like, oh, this bridge has collapsed. How do we solve that? You can solve that. But if it's sort of like, holy shit, man, like, you know, especially for me as like a creative or something, right? You have fucking imposter syndrome or some shit. And you go, man, fuck, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, let me think about this shit. It's at that point, you've only surrendered all of your energy to magnifying your problem. You're actually not solving it. You're expanding it exponentially, and it's making it even harder to get out of because the solution has become think about the problem.
Right.
Rather than, okay, this problem exists, but there is a way to pivot to what this, how I move past that, how I solve that, or acknowledge that the problem exists, but then bringing in other energy into your thought process of like, but I'm doing these things right.
Right.
So that might be in one way, but I think purely obsessing about our problems is a bad habit we have, which is sort of born out of how we're not really told about our own like mental, emotional hygiene.
Right.
It's just sort of like, yeah, you got a problem, fucking obsess about it.
Yeah.
And then
That and I feel like sometimes you forget that like an outside perspective is necessary for someone to like stop you from spiraling in a way.
Oh, for sure.
Be like, well, I don't see it that way. And you're like,
that's why I got to listen to these Tara Brach meditations, man. You know what I mean? You got to look inside yourself, recognize that shit, and also realize that's not me. That's a thing happening in my experience. But it's very easy to then replace a problem by somehow that being like your identity or your existence is that problem. And it's not.
I actually prefer the Tara Reid meditations. Those are,
She
has some interesting things to say.
Amazon has opened the human-less grocery store.
Yeah.
Better than a human grocery store where you buy humans, but still this feels a little bit post-apocalyptic. It's called the grab-and-go concept.
Yeah. I mean, they had the other one, like they had that convenience store.
Yeah,
in a few places,
where
on
it's like
main
all monitored by cameras, right?
So it's basically that same exact vibe where, like,
you sign in when you walk in,
you walk
so they
in,
know you.
Scan your QR code from your
Amazon
tattoo that's on the base of your skull. When they walk in, they scan you in. And then from there, like, same thing, tracks your movements, knows when you've picked stuff up, immediately starts calculating it. Once you walk out, boom, it just charges you. They do have some people there, obviously, like, stock the shelves and, like, answer any questions. But, you know, like, the thing is that has more than, like, those convenience stores that are mostly just, like, snacks and shit.
This
is, like, you know, full-on produce and all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, get your meats, your beers, what have you, and walk out without having to interact with a human.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the selling point.
But that's the death.
Yeah.
That's the death of us. It's interesting. Like, one of the ways, most effective ways to torture a prisoner of war is like lack of human interaction.
Yeah, isolation.
Yeah. And now we're just integrating it into our life.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's cheaper, man. If I can just build these cameras scan you.
Still go to the bank to deposit checks.
You don't use a mobile app?
No, fuck no. I want to go out and talk to somebody.
On a moment by moment basis, it's hard for me to realize that I need human contact. Like, I think I would like fall into this trap very easily.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's why we're all like, it's super comfortable and gives you something to do. Like, just like your phone, like you just like look down at your phone instead of interact with someone. But
do you ever wonder that, like, at a party, you're at like a, you know, we usually have a lot of them around the holidays and things, you know, we get invited to and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm constantly at parties, bro.
And you say to yourself, like, I'll just get up, you know, I'll get up my phone. I don't know anybody here yet, or the people I do know haven't showed up. And then I think to myself, if this was 1994, what would I do? What would I do right now? I guess I'd either stand here quietly and then maybe I'd end up talking to someone, or I would just go talk to someone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I'll try to do that sometimes because you can just run away into your screen.
Oh, it's so
And then
easy.
You're unapproachable.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I think it's I've really tried to like do that less because I realize how easy it is to avoid even like thinking.
Mm-hmm.
By just going to your phone immediately and be like, you know what? Like, if I'm waiting for something, or if like I'm in a line, it's so easy. Like, oh, fuck it. Let me open something up and read something, whatever.
Right.
Versus like just having your phone in there and be like, I can handle 10 minutes and then just kind of look around, take shit in, maybe talk to somebody, think a little bit and not having it be such a, not that it's terrifying, but a thing where it's like, I'd rather not.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think it's about trying to make that less of a reflex.
Yeah.
Well, for me,
stores.
It's terrifying. When somebody walks up to me, I go, oh, no.
Oh,
oh
no.
No.
Oh, no. Oh,
no,
boy.
No.
You're going to love this grocery store.
Oh, boy. They're looking at me. Oh, geez, Jack, don't blow it.
And you
this
say
all
this
happens
out
loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sir, your pizza's ready. Oh, thank you.
Man. Oof. That was a close one.
I made it, Jack. Sir, you're still in here and you're still talking to us.
All right, let's take one more break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun.
the I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back. Nick, do you have a dog?
I do have a dog, Cheetah.
Cheetah.
The most beautiful dog in the world.
And we, of course, know about Jamie's dog, Sunny.
Sunny.
All right.
Sunny is a dog.
Sunny is a dog. Sunny, Sunny came on stage at my show last night to endorse Biden again. And it's frustrating because it's hard to get stage time in this town. And
that is hilarious.
People just come on, they start endorsing Joe Biden. And I'm like, well, great. I only had, 9 minutes. And he fucking used 8 of them.
So you were just doing stand-up and Sonny kind of barged on? And
yeah, I was right at the theater my boyfriend worked at, and he was upstairs. And Sonny just marched downstairs and fucking took the mic. It was ridiculous. And he started to get people really excited about the Biden campaign as well. He kept saying, Pete is a radical, he must be stopped. And people agreed.
Interesting. Wait, Pete is a radical?
Yeah, that's Sonny's new platform. Pete is a radical.
Pete is too far left.
Pete has gone too far this time.
I mean, I wonder, like, at the Pete campaign and at the Klobuchar campaign, if their war room is just them talking shit about, like, the other. Like, Amy Klobuchar's whole strategy is focused on Pete. And vice versa.
Well, she's a terror behind closed doors.
Right.
Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They're so mean to each other.
The clip, it's like Battle of the Centrists. It's right. Wild.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun to watch. That look that Amy Klobuchar shot whatever staffer she was going to snap the neck of and like eat for dinner after she didn't remember the name of the Mexican president. Was
oh, you mean President Lopez Obrador? Love him.
Oh, Pete was like, I knew it. You're right. Like, of course you did. Pete's
great, Pete. You're perfect, aren't you?
Anyways, Sonny says Pete's a radical, so.
Yeah. Well, anyways, there's a new dog owner poll. A Rover.com poll is out, and I don't know how revealing any of this stuff is, but it revealed some things to some people about dog owners. The study shows that 65% of dog owners admit to taking more photos of their dog than their significant other.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, that's
yeah,
a given.
Well, because your dog never says, oh no, I look terrible.
Right.
Delete
right
it.
Right now. Yeah.
94% of dog owners consider their dogs to be part of their family. And 56% greet their dog as soon as they walk in the door, usually before saying hello to the rest of their family.
Well, if anyone else would jump on my face as soon as I walk in the door, they'd get it first too.
The dogs are cheating there, when you think about it.
Dogs are the only burden that are fun. I like what a big burden my dog is.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to my Rover fam. We did an episode for Rover, and I'm a licensed, registered Rover walker.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice.
It's not worth it.
No?
Spoiler alert on that episode. Don't do that.
What? Just too much of a pain in the ass?
No, it's just not worth... Yeah, it's not worth the money. And then, like, sometimes... I had a woman do a little too much heroin while I was in the middle of walking her dog.
Oops.
And I had to lie my way into the building and then find the landlord and then get her door number and then go and then knock on her door a bunch of times before she finally answered.
Oh, no.
And she's like, what's going on? And I was like, I have your dog. And
I saw you 15 minutes ago.
She said, oh, are you mad at me?
No.
No.
And I said, I'm probably not getting a tip, huh?
Right, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Holy shit.
No good.
Wait, had you just seen her? Like, when
yes,
you
no,
the
I
dog
saw her.
Up?
She was perfectly fine. And then, she was not on heroin.
Right.
And when I came back.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. But I was texting with her, beforehand.
Right.
And then afterwards, I was like, hey, I'm back. I texted her. And then she texted back, wrong number.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what's going on?
Can you look directly above this?
And then
message?
When I knocked on her door, there was another dog in there just barking very loudly every time I knocked
it's
on the door.
Dealer.
And then she said to her dog, shush. Shush.
That's her deal.
I think she tried to give me a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was like, it was a new dog. I don't know what her story was, but it involved heroin.
Dogs can deal drugs.
Yeah.
That's dogs just a fact.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
That was her drug dealer. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.